here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio, 23rd of December 2013. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and Patreon crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, how are we doing this week?
Doing very well, mate. I had a big weekend with Embry and McNally up on the Gold Coast. Got back from the training camp, but go into that in a little bit more detail later.
Yep, I just want to mention this episode of Aussie Muscle Radio is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, Scotty, how was the mass nutrition training camp? I saw you doing some, like, occlusion training and things like that.
Well, it was good fun for us and probably not so good for the six participants that actually got trained by us. They did 4 2-hour sessions in 2 days. Not all of them went for the full 2 hours, but we opened it off with legs and absolutely destroyed them with leg giant sets. So it was one of the most brutal leg workouts I've ever seen. I was actually talking to Shamari and we were saying, I don't know if I'd actually do this myself. we'll make these poor buggers do it. So, yeah, we absolutely killed them, had a few vomits. We got a few of those on the Facebook. The best vomit was obviously from the guy who decided that he couldn't move and he would just actually lay there in a pool of his own vomit for a while to recover.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, was these guys able to recover? Like, if they started off with legs, like, that'd be pretty brutal if they did 2 hours and then trained 2 hours later.
Yeah, well, they didn't train 2 hours later. They did 2 hours, then we had a little gap, and then we had a five-hour seminar. Then they had a little break again, and then we trained them again, and then the next day it was again another morning session and a night session. But the legs was obviously the most brutal one. Later that day, we just did a little bit of shoulders and biceps. And the following day, every single one of them showed up again, a bit wobbly on their feet, but they all survived. They all thanked us at the end, and it's a good experience because even though we took them through some things that you wouldn't do on a weekly basis because it'd just be too intense, it was just a lesson in how far you can go if you're really, really pushed. And I'm sure all of them got something out of it. Every time I do a camp, I learn a little trick of McNally's or Shembury's, and I take it away and incorporate it in my training. So I think they're not only are they a good challenge, but they're a great educational tool. I think they're going to be really successful in the future. I look forward to the next one in Adelaide.
Yeah, I got the same kind of thing, Scotty. When I went and trained with Lucky on legs in Melbourne, he kind of showed me, like, you realise how much harder you can go sometimes and how much harder you can actually push yourself. Like, because you think, I'm training hard, I'm training maximum, I couldn't have really done more reps. But, I mean, once you get trained by someone and they're pushing you and stuff like that, you can do a lot more reps than, like, you probably think you can.
Yeah, you can do a lot more reps, you can do more weight, you can jump in and start the next set before you think you can do all sorts of things. So, if you've got some experienced guys to push you, and in our case, yell and badger and scream at them and just basically force them to do awful stuff, I think if they were working at 100% capacity that leg day in the past, they'd probably been working at 60% or something. It was pretty full on.
That's awesome. Now, Scotty, through the week, the Arnold Classic competitors list for obviously the original Arnold Classic, the Columbus Arnold Classic, was released. And, everyone was hanging out for this. It's normally released, I think, a little bit earlier than this. But it's only about 10 weeks away that it's only been released. So it was pretty late that they brought it out. But it looks like, while it's not a giant lineup, it looks pretty stacked. And we're going to kind of break it down and talk about a few of the divisions and stuff. Scotty, why don't we leave the open men for last? But a good inclusion in there is obviously Amanda Doherty, who's going to be in the figure international. So that's massive for her to get back. She's actually done a fitness international, I believe, but she's going to be doing the figure this time around.
Yeah, that's right. She's done fitness twice, but we'll be going back over 10 years. It's a great honour. Good honour for having the confidence to put her hand up and nominate herself for it. And the good thing about the Arnold is that they do like international representatives. I'm not sure if Renee Schmidt applied. I hope she did. You know, as an amateur winner last year and a high placer this year, she would have got a look in as well. So, yeah, it's great to see an Aussie up there in such a prestigious lineup. It's not going to be easy for her with the likes of Candace Keane and Nicole Wilkins, but she's looking pretty good, Amanda. She'll be better again than last year.
Yeah, definitely. And Erin Stern, I can't see her name on the list. Is she skipping this one?
Yeah, she's out this time around. She's strung how many Arnolds and Olympias together in succession. Nicole took it off last year and ended up making some great improvements. So maybe it's Erin Stern to step back and let her body recover.
Yeah, I always hear rumours about Erin Stern maybe not, you know, coming back to figure and stuff, but I don't know. People keep on saying she might have some endorsement deal and stuff like that, but it seems like there's always talk of her maybe not competing again and stuff, so I don't know. I hope that's not the truth, but yeah, it looks like a good lineup regardless. But Scotty, now in the 212 men, this is obviously a new division here. I mean, it's got some really good competitors. We've got basically, you know, the top guys from the Olympia there. We've got, are you surprised that Flex Lewis is doing it?
That who's doing it? Sorry, Flex?
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, it's very rare that you see a reigning Mr. Olympia do anything other than defend his title. He said his motivation is to win the first 212 Arnold in the same way that Rich Gaspari, his sponsor, really, was the first guy to ever win the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic. So it is pretty cool to be the first winner of that division. So I think that's what he's after.
I reckon Rich was probably encouraging too, I'm sure.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Now, perhaps not the most... it sounds funny, like there's a guy in here that we're really anticipating that isn't really going to be probably a top, you know, front runner, is Quincy Winkler, who's obviously the brother of... is he the brother of Roland Winkler, or is he the cousin?
Yeah, he's the brother.
Yeah, yeah. So he's you know, he turned to, you know, pro, I think it was last year or somewhere around there. And, you know, obviously with his genetics, he's got potential to really go far in either this division or eventually move into the Open, but... What kind of chances do you give him, and do you think he was probably more added just for the name, or?
I think he was added for the name and the story and the international flavour of it. I give him a pretty good chance of coming dead last.
It wouldn't surprise me because there's some good dudes in this lineup. We've got Aaron Clark, who he's not a real big name. I believe he competed in the 212 New York Pro last year, and I think he got second or third or somewhere around there.
Yeah, it came in third, I think.
Yeah, and he looked really good there. I was actually, you know, he made some good improvements since he actually turned pro, I think, the year prior. We've got Charles Dixon, Charles Dixon's a nugget. Like, he's just he packs a lot of muscle and he's quite short, but he's got a, you know, quite a good physique. We've got David Henry. Some people, you know, prefer David Henry's physique actually over Flex Lewis's. I personally don't. I really do like the look of David Henry, but it just doesn't, you know, just if his legs were a bit bigger, then I'd say perhaps yes. But do you think David can knock off Flex, or do you think Flex is just untouchable here?
I think if Flex is in his usual Flex Lewis type condition, he'll win it again. I think when you look at individual pictures of David Henry and then you look at individual pictures of Flex, you can make an argument for Henry winning it. When you put them side by side, I think that's when Flex really just stands out. I think he just looks... He honestly looks a bit bigger all over, and his legs absolutely destroy David Henry's when they're standing side by side. It's even more obvious than in the individual pick. So, I think Flex is an extremely solid favourite.
Yeah. Now, one guy that could perhaps upset the apple cart a little bit, I mean, I don't know if he'll be able to do it or not, but Jose Raymond, he's been up and down. I mean, he competed at the Olympia, and I think he got, what was it, third or fourth or somewhere around there. And then he went on to do a smaller show after the Olympia. I don't know if it's 4 weeks or how long it was. And he actually got like 7th or 8th or something. And there wasn't that many top names in that lineup, which is pretty amazing. So he's kind of had an up and down time. So do you think he's, you know, a lock for top three, or do you think there's other guys like maybe Stan McQuay or Aaron Clark that will knock him out of that top three?
Well, you would pencil him in. If you were to do predictions based on his competitive resume, you'd have to put him in for third. But he is the sort of bloke, if he's a tiny bit off, he could slip way down because it's such a deep lineup. So I reckon he'll be pretty motivated after the decisions at the end of this competitive season. I think he's going to come in on the money again and probably nail that third spot.
Yeah, sure. And, I mean, what do you think about Jose's physique now? Do you think, some people have made comments that they think it's getting worse. Do you think that, or do you think that it's just perhaps he's had a few slightly off performances?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just got one of those structures which it's never going to flow, it's never going to be pretty, so he's just got to come in grainy and hard. I'm not a massive Jose Raymond fan physique-wise. I'm a massive Jose Raymond fan personality-wise and, doing interviews and stuff like that. But, there's some other guys in the lineup whose physiques I probably would prefer, like Aaron Clark. And I think Charles Dixon is one of the most underrated 212 guys out there. So I wouldn't be upset if Jose slipped down a little bit further based on physique alone.
Yep. Now, one guy that Joey Bender was actually very excited to see in the lineup is Stan McQuay. He's obviously a massive favourite of Joey's. Now, he's making his comeback here, basically. I'm not sure how many years it's been since he's competed, but it's probably been, two years at least. Do you think he can come back and do some damage? Because he was always one of those taller guys in the 212. Do you think he can perhaps
get a top five?
Yeah, he probably could get a top five. I just don't think, because he's going to be the tallest star, he's going to be sort of the most slight from a muscle standpoint. But he could beat Tricky Jackson, he could beat Marco Rivera, Angel Vargas, Quincy Taylor. Yeah, he could sneak in the top five, absolutely.
Yeah, and one guy, Tricky Jackson, you just mentioned, he's always like, to me, he always looks like he's just almost on the verge of like, you need 5 more pounds or 10 more pounds of muscle and just to bring back conditioning every time, and he could do really well. He just looks like he's just always on that outside slightly, to me.
Yeah, look, I have to agree. He's getting on in age as well. He's very well put together and very proportioned. He has great presentation, which I think has got him over the line in the past, but he's just not quite top-tier 212 guy.
Yeah, I agree. Now, move on. We'll talk about the open men. That's the one that kind of everyone wants to hear about. We'll go down the list, basically. I'll read out all the names. We've got Evan Santani, Brandon Curry, Tony Freeman, Cedric McMillan, Victor Martinez, Ed Nunn, Ben Sikorski, Sean Roden, Fred Smalls, Branch Warren, Rolly Winkler, Dennis Wolf, and
Hitotati Yamagishi. So we've got
a good list there, and we've got that kind of, Hide almost basically always gets an invite because he's, obviously the only Japanese pro out there, I think. But we've got, we've got some other really good bodybuilders in there. We've got Ben Bukowski, who we haven't seen all year, all last year.
Pretty much, apart from the Arnold, so we haven't seen him in a full year.
And we've got some other kind of names that can be,
almost surprises, I think. So we'll start at the top. Evan Santapani, he's a guy that people were dubbing and he's going to be, he's going to be right up the top of the Olympia, Dave Palumbo said he could even win a Mr. Olympia, which is kind of, I think Dave's almost kind of semi-retracted that now because obviously what's happened and he hasn't kind of lived up to that sort of hype. But do you think, because he did come, I think he was in that top three consideration not last year, the year before. Do you think he can kind of shock some people?
I'd love to think he can, but I'm not sure how much he could have done between the Olympia and now. He really just needs to get bigger. He really just needs more quad sweep and still thickness through the chest and a bigger back and everything else if he's to go against the best guys in the sport. So is it just a case of, coming on stage with a bit more fullness and some awesome conditioning? I think he can, give top three a nudge if he's at his absolute best, but you can't really put him over some of the other guys, Dennis Wolf, Sean Roden. And honestly, I think Bukowski will get him this year.
No, I agree with that, actually. I think Bukowski, he's one of the guys who really has his head screwed on straight in terms of how he looks into the sport and how he studies things and how he's always got his finger on the pulse when it comes to all new studies and all that kind of stuff. And he's basically doing whatever he can to optimise his physique and stuff. And he's, He did. Colts got second last year, didn't he?
Yeah, second to Dexter.
Yeah, so, people are kind of forgetting that a little bit. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, what he brings this time around. Do you think he can win it? Do you think Pekulski can actually come in and beat guys like Sean Roden, guys like Rolly Winkler, guys like Dennis Wolf? Do you think that's possible?
No. I still don't think he's going to have the back development and the arm development up against the absolute genetic elites of Sean Roden and Dennis Wolfe. I would say it's highly, highly unlikely. He's up against, we've got the third place guy in the Olympia, the fourth place guy in the Olympia, Rowley, the seventh place guy in the Olympia. Where was Victor? He was like eighth.
In the Olympia. He was out of it.
He was out of the top ten, wasn't he? Branch was ninth. There's a lot of good guys that he's got to get over. I see him just notch down from Sean Roden and Dennis Wolfe in the athletic stakes, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Brandon Curry, he's one that, I mean, he's one of the most frustrating bodybuilders, I think. I mean, he's one of these guys that could do really well, perhaps in smaller shows, if he brought his condition. And he won the Arnold Spain last year. But that was obviously a much weaker lineup than people anticipated. But, I mean, if he nails his condition, do you even think he has the kind of elite development and things like that to do really well in a show like this?
Well, he's got an eighth place in the Olympia on his resume, so he can do well and beat the Tony Freemans and stuff like that. But, honestly, there's 13 guys in this lineup. I don't even think he'll be in the top 10.
Yeah. Now, Tony Freeman, he's about 48 years old. He seemed to decline a little bit. His legs kind of seem to maybe atrophy a little bit. I mean, this is going to be hard for Tony to crack a top five here, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say impossible for him to crack the top five. They almost forgot about him in the Olympia pre-judgings. He was the absolute last man called out. Like you said, his leg development's just faded away. He used to have some crazy sweeps. He doesn't anymore. There's just nothing about his physique which says freaky, cartoonish, the X-Man thing slowly fading away. So I think Tony's another one I've got out of the top 10.
Yeah, same here. Then moving on to Cedric McMillan. Cedric's almost like a young Tony Freeman. Like, he's kind of tall guy, like really good kind of V-taper and stuff like that. But Cedric obviously has that little bit more roundness, I think, to his physique. I mean, Cedric, I think he can be a real wild card here. I mean, he came back at the Olympia and people didn't really take notice of him because I think he got about 12 or so, but he looked like he could have been a little bit better again. So, I mean, if he can improve on that in a, top 12 finish in the Olympia, where there's a lot of guys that were in the Olympia but aren't going to be here, do you think he can shock some people?
Yeah, he can. There's no doubt. You look at Cedric and you just know that he is just some rock-hard, grainy Branch Warren condition away from probably winning the show or being top three. He has every tool he needs. All he needs to do is come in full and super hard, grainy, dry, and he's going to scare the crap out of everyone.
Yeah.
But what's the likelihood of that happening?
It is pretty unlikely based on his track record. I mean, when he won his pro card and the New York Pro, even the New York Pro that he won, he still wasn't that razor sharp look, but he was obviously very full and looked crazy. But yeah, we've got next name on the list, Ed Nunn. What do you think about Ed's chances?
Ed's kind of not a favourite in the eyes of the judges. Even when he's deserved good placings, he's fallen down the ladder. So I'm not sure. He's at the bottom of my top 10. He's like a 9th or 10th guy.
Yeah, I agree. Victor Martinez, he's obviously... I mean, Victor, he competed at the Olympia and he finished outside the top 10. But he brought a better physique. I think it was to Arnold Spain a week or two later. And his physique, I think, was dramatically... he looks fuller and he looked harder, which kind of confused me. And at the Olympia, he just looked a bit flat or something. I don't know. There's just something about him where he looked deflated, and I was like, oh, this is kind of going to be the end of Victor. But he really did turn it around at Arnold Spain.
Yeah, he did. I think he beat Rowley, didn't he? I think he's still got some muscle memory in him. I expect him to be a little bit better at this show. So I could see him getting in the top six.
Yeah. Now, Sean Roden, he's one of the favourites coming into this. I mean, you've got probably at the top of the list, you've probably got Dennis Wolfe, you've got, Rolly Winkler, you've got Sean Roden, you've got Ben Bukowski. Maybe, that's probably about it, really. They're the kind of top-running favourites. And the thing I love about this as well is the fact that there isn't a real clear-cut favourite where everyone's saying he'll win. I mean, previous years we've had that with, it's going to be Dexter or Branch, or it's going to be this person or this person. We've got kind of four or five guys that can genuinely win it. And Sean's one of them, and I mean, he's I mean, for me, he's probably the favourite.
Yeah, well, I'd pencil Dennis Wolf in as the favourite, seeing how he's come off such a successful Olympia campaign. But Sean Roden has beaten Dennis on numerous occasions. They've gone back and forth a bit. So it just comes down to who's in better condition on the day, I think, and that's your winner.
Yep, sure. Now, next name on the list, we've got, we've got Branch Warren. I mean, he's a funny one. Like, he can either come in, you know, razor sharp look, but he seems to be losing that just the last few years. Like, he's been a bit up and down, or more down the last few years. Can he regain his previous form? I mean, people were counting him out this Olympia, and that's actually right for the first time, which was, this year's Olympia. That's actually right for the first time, and, I mean, are we seeing the decline of Branch Warren?
Yeah, I think we are. I don't think Branch's got any improvement in him. I don't think he needs more contest preps or anything like that. He's an experienced guy. I just think his body's just a little bit beat up, and his time is coming. So, and in the judges' eyes, the Branch name used to carry a lot of weight, and he was sort of first call out just on the basis of name. I think now after the Olympia, where he slipped down to ninth, they'll be. He's not a favourite. He's not guaranteed anything anymore. So I can see him slipping down in this lineup too.
Yep. Rolly Winkler. Do you think he has a chance of winning it? So flat out, do you think he can win this show?
I think he probably can. Like, just on the pure mass and freak factor, because both Sean and Dennis have come in very good condition. Sean in particular has come in extremely good condition in the past, but none of them have ever been just that absolute over-the-top Phil Heath type of hardness. If Rolly was to pull that off, he could win it because he is just that big. Like no one, say maybe Pekulski, is going to out-muscle him, and even then Rolly's still going to out-muscle Pekulski in some shots. So he's got the potential. Now, whether he knows how to bring that just next-level conditioning, I'm not sure. I probably got Rolly in third behind Dennis and Sean.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he falls, because he's kind of almost a wild card as well, placing, you know, seventh at the Olympia, where he could have been even higher. He's really got the potential to, you know, he kind of is like his coming out show again at the Olympia, and it'll be interesting to see where he places after that. Now, Dennis Wolf, he's obviously, you know, like you said, he's a favourite, and I think he should be the favourite, even though he's not the favourite in my eyes, just because of his, you know, inconsistency, where he's never terrible. I mean, he was that one year at Olympia where he was quite off, but he seems to be slightly flat, or he's slightly too full and not hard enough. Like, there's always just a little problem, but he did nail it at the Olympia. So, you know, what kind of percentage chance do you give him of, you know, winning this show? Because I think he'll have to be like he is at the Olympia, or close to that, to win this.
He's 50-50 at best. He's not like a crazy favourite. There's a few guys you'd give a chance to. I'd say even money on Dennis.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Hitsuhari Yamagishi, I don't think he's going to be a real factor in this show, but he can take out some guys when he comes in razor sharp.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, I could see him placing eighth or something because a couple of guys slip up. But man, structurally, he's behind the eight ball in this lineup.
Yep, sure. Now, on that note, Scotty, we're going to... Actually, no, we'll do a little prediction first. So we'll do, like, a little maybe, like, top five or something like that, just an early one to kind of see. It would be interesting how much it changes when pitches and stuff start to come out. So, do you want to go first, Scotty?
Sure. I'll put in Dennis Wolf in the top spot, Sean Roden in the second spot, Rolly Winkler in third, Ben Pekulski fourth, and, look, I'll put Senapani in fifth, just because I think he's a safer bet than Cedric McMillan to nail his condition.
Yeah, very, very, very similar tips to me. I've got Sean Roden in first, Dennis Wolf in second, Rolly Winkler in third, Ben Pekulski in fourth, and then I'll put Cedric in fifth. He got fifth. Was it fifth in the Arnold last year?
Yeah, fifth or sixth. I think maybe sixth.
Yeah, so he's very, very about last year, and I think we might even see a slightly better version. So I think he can take out A few guys, maybe like Kolsky, or, you know, you can really take out anyone if they're off, you know, but I think it's less likely to see someone like, I don't think we're going to see like an off, real off Rolly Winkler. I don't think we're going to see a real off Sean Roden, so I doubt we'll see an off Kolsky. So I think that's why I'm putting those guys ahead of Cedric. But Scotty, on that note, we're going to head to a break and we'll be back in a few minutes for your Ask Scotty segment.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermoburn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Scott Goebel once again, and we're here for his Ask Scotty segment. We don't have a bodybuilding yes or no, Scotty, but we do have an Ask Scotty as always. Now, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, now first question. Does Steve Kluko have a better ceiling than Lana Waikiki in terms of potential?
Very good question again. I would say that could be a yes or no.
That is a yes or no, sorry.
I would say Waikiki has the higher ceiling, but I think Kluko will end up more successful.
Yeah, that's Scotty, when I wrote that question, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, well answered. Now, next question: is GABA a worthwhile supplement?
It is for some people. Like from a sleep standpoint, growth hormone release standpoint, it's got a fair bit of evidence that it works, and a lot of people swear by it. For me, it doesn't hit me like it does some people. Some people will take GABA and they'll be absolutely passing out not long after. So I'm not sure if it's one of those ones where if you've got some sort of neurotransmitter deficiency or something like that and it's the precursor that it makes a huge difference for you, whereas if you produce enough of that naturally, then it's not going to make much of a difference. But I think it is a supplement that it's a try and see how it works for you on, but it's worth having a go at.
Yeah, definitely. Scotty, the funny thing is, I used GABA probably, what was it? I used it probably about 3 or 4 years ago or something like that, but probably about 4 years ago, I reckon. I used it consistently because I thought, I want to get good rest and, read up about the studies on its, potential growth hormone releasing effects, I guess. And it actually made me, because I was taking about 4 to 5 grams, which is a decent dose, and it was always about 10, 15 minutes after I took it. And I never realized it was after I took it. I just thought it was at night that this was happening to me. And I would get this almost like this, my heart rate would go up, and you'd feel almost like you're about to have a heart attack or something. And I was actually going to go to the doctor for this, and then I realized, I was reading up about GABA for some reason. I don't know why, but, and I read, some people experience this. And I didn't take it the next night, I didn't get it. So it's kind of funny. I don't know, it almost makes you feel a bit stressed out for about a minute, and it just hits you all of a sudden. Have you ever got that?
I've got that from some products which contain it, yeah. Some GH Blast and stuff like that, I've had it happen. So, yeah, I have experienced that. It's not overly pleasant.
No, it's an uneasy kind of feeling. And especially when I didn't know what it was, I was thinking, what the fuck is this? I was going to go to the doctor. I thought it was, having heart issues or something. But anyway, Scotty, we'll move on to the next question. What's the best time of the day to take creatine, or doesn't it matter?
Doesn't really matter. There have been studies on it where you take it with breakfast in a cup of hot tea. There have been studies on it where you take it pre-workout, post-workout, take it at night. If you take enough of it, it works, and the stuff's so cheap that it's easy to take enough of it. So don't stress about it. Take it at the most convenient time for you. If that's chucking it in your post-workout shake, fantastic. If it's having it in your pre-workout, that's good too. Just take it whenever. Just get it down.
Yeah, I agree with that, Scotty. I mean, there's been a lot of study that, people still say, even though they read a lot of these studies, they still say, pre and post-workout or whatever. And that's when I just do it, just out of habit. But, I don't think it really matters either. Now, last question, Scotty. Is there a way to train adductors without using a machine?
Adductors? Things like sumo deadlifts, wide stance, the leg presses, deep squats, all that sort of stuff is going to work. Adductors, lunges. Anything where you get massive hip flexion and any sort of motion where your legs are spread wide, I guess, so any sort of squat or press. So, yeah, definitely. You don't need a machine to work them. You could probably hook up something with bands and things like that as well if you wanted. But as a general rule, unless you've got a specific weakness, just widening your stance will be enough to get them firing.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I asked it is because I had that issue and I was kind of just wondering. So it's kind of a bit of a selfish question. But
Yeah, and it's funny because I never have gone, I mean, a few times when I was younger maybe, I've never gone really, really wide on squats and stuff, and it does feel uncomfortable. I mean, it feels kind of a little bit awkward and stuff like that. So I think, you know, you kind of, when you put it yourself in that kind of position that you haven't really before when you do an exercise, then you realise you do have deficiencies, and it's not a strong point. Like, a lot of people are a lot stronger when they go wide, and I'm just not, so... some good advice there, Scotty. Now, on that note, we're going to head to a break, and that's it for you this week, Scotty. But stay tuned, we've got our interview of the week up next.
ThermoBurn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further.
Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by the 2013 FedEx Novice Short Champion, Aaron Pilates. Aaron, welcome to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Glad to be on the show, guys.
Mate, it's funny, before I did this interview, I actually thought I'd had you on before, because I interviewed you at FedEx after you won and stuff like that, and for some reason I just assumed I'd already had you on, but thinking about last week when I interviewed Sonny, your mate, I actually hadn't had you on, so I thought I'd better get you on this week, because you're prepping for the FedEx 2014. Now, what class are you going to be falling into, mate? Because there's talk that you're going to be under 90s, and then there's talk of you doing possibly, I don't know if it was under 80s or what it was. So what class do you think you'll fall into?
Yeah, well, that's the big question that I would love to know myself. But honestly, we did think I was going to be under 90s, but the way it's going, I could easily do under 90s, but I think it'd be the smarter decision, because I'll be very close to the cutoff. That will be the smartest decision to come in under 80s and be the heaviest and most likely one of the shortest in the class, as opposed to just scraping in the under 90s and having to give up a lot of weight. So, you know, if I can help it, I'll try and get in the under 80s if it's not too far to deplete.
Yeah, for sure.
But, as Logan said, my coach, he said we'll have to do a bit longer depletion, but we should be able to get, even if I get down to 84, 85, we can still deplete that last bit of weight to get me under for the weigh-ins.
Yeah, for sure. And when's the weigh-ins? Because someone told me that it was, someone said it was on the day, then someone said it was the day before or something. So do you know when they are?
I'm pretty sure Classic, unfortunately for the Classic competitors, they got a weigh-in on the day. So,
oh,
yeah. So that's you and Luke.
Yeah.
It sucks, but I'm pretty sure everybody else, we weigh in on the Friday. Like last year, everyone weighed in on the Friday. So you weigh in on the Friday, and then the plan is you walk in there, under 80, and then eat as soon as you weigh in, then just eat all night, I suppose, carb up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm sure I'll be feeling pretty flat when I step on them scales.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure you do a pretty aggressive carb too. But what kind of weight was you at last year for FedEx?
I didn't weigh myself at FedEx. I weighed myself. Actually, so I was about 78 kilos because I didn't have to weigh because I was a novice class and weight didn't matter. I knew my weight coming into the show, but I didn't really weigh myself. But I remember stepping on a scale at FedEx, I was 78, but yeah, I didn't check Australasia's, but I think I was around 78. Still pretty light, relatively.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and when I mentioned you in the play-by-play, I was kind of blown away by what you brought to the stage, and your physique really, like, you know, it looked a lot bigger than 78 kilos. It looked like you were just packed with muscle. Kind of a question I had was, how much weight do you think your physique can actually hold and remain really kind of aesthetically look pleasing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question. Like, I've definitely put more than 2 kilos of muscle on this year. That's the only thing I'm trying to think of, how am I going to get below 80, because maybe, and I suppose I'd get a little bit leaner, but I reckon I've put probably 4 to 5 kilos of muscle on this year. But as opposed to filling out before, I don't look aesthetic. I'm doing a lot of powerlifting exercises lately and training with Adam Dowlingham, and we're doing a lot of heavy weightlifting stuff, but he's sort of helped me out. I'm not trying to thicken my waist too much, and I don't want to end up like a block, or as Scotty calls me, a human barrel. So, I'm trying to not to thicken up. I like to be thick, but I don't want to get to the point where I'm not aesthetic at all. I still want to look half decent, you know what I mean? I don't want to turn into a square.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you haven't been training like a real long time. Like, when did you kind of get into it?
I got into it when I was racing motorbikes, and I dislocated my shoulder really bad, and then I went to the doctors and had to have an operation to fix it. And I used to go to the gym like probably 3 times a week, and I still had a little bit of muscle considering I was only about 60 kilos. But then the doctor said to me, he was the doctor for the Titans, that does all the operations for the Titans football club, and he suggested getting into the gym will help me fix my shoulder up and building the muscle around the shoulder. So yeah. Since then, because I couldn't really race bikes anymore because I was sick of it. I was in hospital every year for 4 years when I was racing bikes. I was sick of doing that, so I stopped playing footy, stopped skating, and stopped riding bikes, and then I just got into the gym, and then I sort of put a bunch of muscle on really quickly and got decent results pretty quick. So then I thought, oh, out of all the sports I've done, this is one I'm probably better at. So I thought I was better stick to this, you know. So then all of the rest was history.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like, obviously you haven't been into it for long. Like, what was your main, like, why do you like competing? Is there, like, you know, obviously you competed last year for the first time. Is there a reason why you like getting up on stage, or is it like that you just enjoy training and then competing is kind of a bonus?
I think competing honestly serves my personality more than anything. Like, I've always been a sporty person my whole life. I've always been into every sport I can get myself into, and everything's a competition always to me. I'm always very competitive through school and trying to be the best at this and that, and played footy and this, but I've never had a sport so much that I feel like out of all the sports I've done, this one I'm having more success the most. So the reason I like competing, I just thrive being on stage and putting all that effort in and busting your ass for a year, and then you get to display it on stage and compete against the best athletes, arguably, in Australia. I just couldn't think of anything more rewarding than eventually, you know, ultimately getting that number one spot and knowing that you worked hard that whole year and you beat everybody else. So I just reckon it's a rewarding feeling.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. There's some guys that obviously just like training and they don't enjoy the competing side so much, but yeah, I'm the same as you. I really love competing, and it's something, you know, you get to show kind of what you've done and what you've worked for and all that kind of stuff. Now, is there a pro bodybuilder that you look at now? Like, is there a 212 guy or is there an open guy that you really kind of look up to and base your kind of physique on?
Yeah, well, I can't go past Flex. I met Flex at Flex Lewis at where did I meet him at? The Phylex. Was it a year and a half or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it was a year and a half. I think it was last year. And I went up there with Luke Holiday Smith, who was a good mate of mine, and that was when he used to own East Coast Supplements, and I was representing that company, just doing a bit of promotion. And Flex had a lot of time for me. Like, Luke Holiday Smith's a good mate to him, and he spoke to him for a while, but he honestly spoke to me for about 40 minutes and gave me training advice, and he was just real positive. And then he invited us to the gym that night to train with him. And the question was to go to Ivy and party with everyone, or to go to the gym and train with Rolly Winkler was there and Flex, and honestly hardly anyone else was at the gym. So we went to the gym, but we got there a little bit late, and Flex was just finishing. But he still gave us heaps of time and training advice, and he's like the nicest guy pro that I've ever spoke to. So, and his physique, you know, because he's short like me and he's extremely thick on stage, I look up to his physique. So. And his personality and his outlook on everything.
Sure, and it's always like kind of enlightening, and it's a nice surprise when you talk to a pro that is very down to earth, and you wouldn't even know, you know, unless you kind of, you know, if you couldn't see him, you wouldn't know that was actually a pro by the way they speak to you. So it's always kind of a bit refreshing, like when you hear someone like that, rather than hearing the stories of the guys that, you know, just won't even talk to you, or whatever. So
it was just like a normal guy. I couldn't believe how friendly and intelligent and all the positive advice that he gave me, so I've got a lot of respect for him.
Exactly, yeah. Now, is anyone doing your prep this year, or are you doing it yourself?
Nah, Logan's doing it again. Logan did it last year, Logan Robson, so yeah, he's doing it again this year.
Awesome. Have you changed? I mean, is there much you've changed from this year last year to this year?
It's a lot easier this year, honestly, because last year, obviously, I'd only been going into the bodybuilding probably a year. And there's so many things that I didn't do. Like, you've probably heard stories. Like, I used to, even like 12 weeks out, I was eating fruit salads before bed, and I was waking up in the morning and having my oats with milk, and lots of things that I just didn't really realise. And I used to drink orange juice, like, throughout my prep, didn't really realise that all the things you were supposed to do. So this time, obviously 10 times smarter, and we're just copying last year that I'm about two months ahead of last year, body fat-wise, and I'm doing less cardio. Like, I'm doing once or twice a week at the moment, where I just pretty much walk to the shops and back with my dog, who stops for a piss every 3 metres. So it's hardly even any cardio at all, and I'm way ahead. I wasn't at this body fat percentage till about January last year, so I'm way ahead. And, it's a lot easier, actually, a lot easier.
That's awesome. Now, you've got a pretty good, like crew up there on the Gold Coast. You got, obviously, Mick Galley, you got Sonny, you got yourself, you got Luke Smith, you got Logan. Like, seems like you've got a pretty tight-knit crew up there.
Yeah, it's the best environment, honestly. I was just saying this today to a friend. I was saying, I'm so lucky. A lot of guys are actually coming down from Brisbane because of that reason and wanting to get amongst it, because there's so many good athletes there, and a lot of them are my close friends, and sometimes you take it for granted, but it's just a world of knowledge in our gym. You can learn... Every day you go there, you learn that much, you know, from through these guys who are my close mates, and I get to train them, and even lately, Sonny and I have been training with Adam Dowling, and he's like a crazy scientist. He knows absolutely everything about your body and how it moves and every single different ways of doing exercises and isometric holds and different angles to hit the muscle, and he's showing us that much stuff, and it's all just helping us grow like never before. So our training's just that intense, and it's changing every single week, and the things we're doing and they're showing us is just, I'm just learning a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Now, after you get done competing this year, what's the plans after that? I mean, do you want to go on and do a 212 pro qualifier or something like that? Because, I mean, a lot of people are saying this now, and they're kind of, you know, they're seeing what you did last year, they're seeing kind of the progress you're making this year. Is that something that you're really looking at and going, okay, that's something I really want to do?
Yeah, ultimately that is the goal. I remember when I first heard Tony was making the 212 class, I was just happy as Larry, because that would suit me down to a T, my body shape and everything. But yeah, that's definitely ultimately the goal. But I think it's hard to say. It depends how I go at FedEx and then at Australasia's. Like, ultimately, if I won both and the best outcome possible, you could get an invite to the Arnold's or something, then that would throw a whole new spanner in the works. But if that doesn't happen, I think I might have a year or two off to just to work on a few things and sort a few things out and come back to the pro qualifier 212 confident. So I won't enter it until I think I've got a good chance of winning.
Yeah, for sure. Is that something that's almost like distracting at this point? I mean, because you're going for this comp, but that's got to be something that's in the back of your mind. Like, I mean, yeah, you know, because that's obviously a bigger goal.
It is, when people sort of saying at the moment, like, oh, you should do the pro qualifier. Like, they make it sound like I should do it soon, but I feel like I've only just still started in the sport. Like, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I've only done two novice events. You know what I mean? So I've still got a lot to learn and a lot of things I want to work on before I do that. But you know, it'll happen eventually. I'm still young, so.
Yeah, so you sort of just want to naturally progress through the stages, like the novice, then the open, then.
Ultimately, I'd rather. You have to get an Australian title to enter it anyway, don't you? So I'd rather get a couple of titles first before I went and did that, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I mean, obviously Logan's doing your prep and stuff like that. Have you got any idea of what he's going to be doing in the future?
Yeah, Logan, you know, he's looking absolutely monstrous at the moment. Like, everyone doesn't realise his plan is, a lot of people pressure him to do the pro qualifier and things like that, but he doesn't really, in his eyes, he doesn't really, I don't think he wants to really do that till the end of his career. Like, his plan at the moment is, I think he wants to do October Nationals next year. And yep, he's going to be one big man on stage, because he's looking absolutely the biggest I've ever seen him at the moment. So, and honestly, he's not even that out of condition. We're on the beach with him in the weekend, and he's over 120 kilos, but he's still got slight ab definition there, so he doesn't... Yeah. He carries that weight very well.
He looks absolutely insane at the moment.
I can't wait to see what he does at Nationals. I'll definitely fly down for it and help him out and everything to support him through that. But yeah.
Awesome. Now, obviously, you've got you've had a bit of a rivalry going on with Sonny, your good friend, who we had on the radio show last week. What do you think about Sonny and his physique and stuff? Because you know, Mick's been impressed by Sonny, and a few other people have as well. What do you think about him?
Sonny has impressed a lot of people. In the last year, like, he had the year off, and you know, he put a lot of weight on, and it's a lot of talk about him never being lean enough for any of his shows. He's always never had a problem bringing a lot of muscle to the shows. You know, even when he went to the Nationals, I think he was the heaviest on stage by 20 kilos, but they placed him fourth, I think. But he never, arguably, never really brings that condition. But honestly, if you see him in person at the moment, he's almost the leanest he's ever been. He's freakishly lean. Like, he makes me feel fat. Like, he at the beach on the weekend, he's never been this lean this far out, and frankly, I don't think his body's just going to stop losing body fat. There's no doubt he's going to bring the biggest package he's ever brought, and his waist is just tiny, and he's already he looks ridiculous. So he's going to definitely turn a few heads at FedEx, regardless of what position he places. But I honestly don't think he'll just scrape in the weight class to get an under 90s, and he's relatively short, and his legs are just monstrous. I don't think anyone will beat him.
Awesome. Now, we're coming to the end of the interview. Is there any sponsors out there or anyone you want to thank?
Yeah, I'll thank my sponsors first. So Mass Nutrition Broadbeach, NDA Supplements, FK and Gymwear, and Gripped Fitness Accessories. And obviously my coach, Logan. He's always been there for me. Makes my prep pretty easy. We're not arguing as much this time as supposed to last year. We had a lot of arguments, but just a shout out to the boys down at Worlds, Sonny, Luke, Logan, Craig, and Gally.
Awesome, yep. And Gally has been talking you up. He critiqued you a little bit last week on the radio show. What did you think about that?
Yeah, he gets into me a fair bit, and he texts me, telling me I've got a big head and all this stuff. But I just take it with a grain of salt. He's always got my best interest at heart. Honestly, he's one of the guys that pretty much got me into the bodybuilding. I don't know if I've ever really said that to anyone, but him and Logan, when I was just a party boy and just training, he was one of the guys that said, like, not into bodybuilding, but he's one of the guys that convinced me to compete. Him and Logan were the ones that convinced me to do FedEx, so he's always had my best interest at heart, and he always said to me, you'll do well, you'll do well, and he's always ended up being right, so.
Yeah, Gally always says that to me. He'll say something, and then it will come true, and then he'll say, see, Zave, I'm all, well, he says Zaves, actually.
Yeah.
See, Zaves, I'm always right, so, and he does seem to be right quite a lot of the time, so.
Yeah. He's always done good like that for me, so I trust in his, whatever him and Logan and, like, Luke, my good mates give me advice, I'd pretty much trust what they say, and they've always led me in the right direction, so.
Exactly, yeah. And Gally will absolutely love hearing this, and I'll tell him about it because I'm just actually about to record the end of a show with him, so he'll very, very much enjoy this.
Yeah, he knows I appreciate him.
Anyway, Aaron, thanks for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. That's Aaron Pilates, possible future 212 Pro.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermal Burn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep
you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week, I'm joined by ATP's chief scientist, Matt Legg, and we're here for 2 minutes with a scientist. Now, Matt, we're going to be talking about hydroxycitric acid today, and you were saying this is a product that you were you decided not to put in your new fat burner, T432, that you came out with. Why did you decide not to put hydroxycitric acid in there? Because it seems to be a real popular one.
Probably because I don't like to make money. No, it's definitely the most popular fat burner on the market at the moment. Everyone's talking about it. I did have a really good look at it, and I worked it out. There's some research that shows really good results with fat burning, and then there's a whole heap of other research that doesn't show as good results with fat burning. The way hydroxycitric acid works, and that's the active ingredient from Garcinia cambogia, the way it works is it actually inhibits the conversion of sugar from the bloodstream into the storage form of fat. Okay, so it blocks the storage of the excess calories as fat. The studies that show it works really well is in the rats that are fed a very high carb diet. So in a rat with a high carb diet, it worked. It had to be equivalent to about 6 grams a day, in a human worth of hydroxycitric acid. When they did the same studies on humans, they just couldn't reproduce those sort of results because different enzyme systems are available. But also, it had to be an extremely low-fat, low-protein, high-carbohydrate diet to actually work. Okay. Another interesting thing is the hydroxycitric acid doesn't get absorbed very well if it's combined with fiber. So when these products are taken with a meal or with a supplement that contains fiber, then they don't absorb the actual hydroxycitric acid. Yep. There was also some studies on it showing that it blocks testosterone. So it's actually an anti-androgen and can actually have some problems in with blocking off testosterone activity.
Yeah, I actually used this in my last prep, and my testosterone went super, super low. So, I mean, and it went low after the contest prep as well. But you said it stops the excess calories, or in rats anyway, stops the excess calories from actually, being stored as fat. So to me, that sounds more like it would be something you take in the off-season to stop gaining fat if obviously it worked that way in humans.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's probably better for prevention. It's not so much something you can whack in and induce a whole heap of fat burning. The other effects that it works on is it has a mild effect in the brain of preserving serotonin and thereby reducing appetite and cravings. So it's more actually used for prevention, like you say. So it prevents overeating. And if you have had a high carbohydrate diet, it'll actually prevent some of that from storing in as fat. So it makes more sense to use it in the off season and not use it as a dedicated stimulant of fat burning.
Yeah, and I think most people do use it. Most people use it in a fat burning scenario as well. I don't think people really use it much off season. So that's an interesting point you brought up.
Yeah, and raspberry ketones was the other one that was showing some weird effects where it was actually shrinking testicles and stuff like that. Some bad anti-testosterone sort of effects. So that's another one that we looked at but decided not to put in.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, you obviously, especially as a guy, you definitely don't want that. And I mean, in terms of if you're a girl when you take something like this, does it really matter in terms of anti-testosterone thing, or do you think it might have some type of hormonal effect on them as well?
Yeah, well, it will have a hormonal effect because we've still got the same hormones, men and women, just different ratios. But what you'll find is, even in women, like the androgens, so when we talk about androgens, it's testosterone, progesterone predominantly. They're just a bit more dominant with the progesterone. But we need the androgens to offset the estrogen, because estrogen will preserve fat and fluid. The androgens enhance the burning of fat and the removal of fluid. So, yeah, definitely important for them not to have that testosterone blocked off.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting, Matt. Thanks for coming on once again. It's another great segment. If anyone has any questions for Matt, send them through to me, xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. That's xavierwills at rxmuscle.com.au. Matt, thanks for coming on once again. That was 2 Minutes with a Scientist. You'll be back in 2 weeks. Everyone stay tuned for Mick and Galley and my segment coming up next to wrap up the show.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermoburn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you
you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Michael Galley, and we are here to wrap up the show. Mick, what has been going on this week with you, mate?
Another busy week, Xavier. PT's flat out. Right at the moment, we are recording, it's not live, but we're recording for Mass Nutrition Raw Beach because I've been, Craig's gone away for a bit of a holiday with his soon-to-be wife, so I'm doing some extra hours of the shop for him. So, yeah, I'm just sitting here taking care of business, mate. Another good weekend with the boys yesterday at the beach. You know, everyone, all these comp prep guys have their caliper tests and their fat tests and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my beach test because I see Aaron and Sonny weekly and Luke Smith at the beach, so I can tell the difference every Sunday. Man, these boys, Sonny's so impressive, eh? Like, he's really blowing me away, so I can't wait to see him up on stage.
Awesome. What are you up to for Christmas?
That's tomorrow, isn't it? Jesus.
It is, yeah, I keep forgetting that. Yeah.
Well, I actually did tell all my clients that I would train them in the morning if they wanted to, Christmas Day. No one took me up on the offer. So, at this stage, probably just catch up with a few of the boys, have a barbecue. I think we're having a bit of a pool party at my place tomorrow with a few of the Mass boys.
Very nice.
Yeah, but nothing over the top. That said, I just got a very nice Christmas present from ATP Science, my great sponsors. Matt brought me in a crystal-headed skull full of vodka. Which,
yeah,
I'm not sure what they're trying to say there, if they're encouraging the problem or not. I don't know.
Yeah, no, especially when you're getting ready for that photo shoot too.
Vodka's fine. We've talked about this. Vodka's,
yes, yeah.
No calories. I'm Russian. I can drink vodka like it's going out of fashion.
You're not Russian.
I'm part Russian, Xavier. I've told you this. Are you deaf?
I don't know. Must be. I got a nice Christmas present. I got the Arnold Schwarzenegger Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding from my parents.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, that was nice of them. I got that sent over. And they said, oh, I hope it's there by Christmas and stuff. And it showed up 2 days before, so.
Happy day. And you've opened it.
What's that?
And you've opened it.
I know. Yeah. But I think I was allowed to.
You know that 7 years bad luck?
Is it?
Yeah. Well, that could be breaking glass.
I think that's breaking glass.
Of course it's breaking glass, you idiot.
Yeah, because when you said that, I was like, oh, really? I haven't heard that one.
I was waiting for you to catch on to that.
Fucking make me look like an
idiot. I'm sure there must be some bad luck somewhere here for that.
Well, I haven't had great luck lately, so. Yeah. But might be it. Might have preempted that I was going to open that Christmas present and it just screwed me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mick, this week we had the Arnold Classic list was released, and I know we talked about it. Me and Scotty talked about it earlier on in the show. But, I mean, the list is looking pretty nice. Like, I mean, a few weeks ago, we were expecting to see Big Ramy on that list, which we're not seeing, which is kind of disappointing. But we've got some good guys at the top. We've got Sean Roden. We've got Dennis Wolf. We've got, you know, Rolly Winkler, who could be a surprise. We've got Cedric McMillan. What do you think about the whole list? Are you impressed?
Yeah, mate, there were definitely some big names in there. I mean, even though we had a couple of good guys in this year's, I mean, I think we all agree that probably this year's Arnold Classic was one of the poorer ones that we've seen since it started. So it was good to see a lot of the top guys, you know, throwing their hat in the ring. And awesome to see the 212 lineup in, mate. And I'll tell you, and I inboxed Stan McQuaid. We speak a little bit from time to time on Facebook. And we got to know each other from Gold's Gym over the years. It's good to see him making a comeback. I think he's just turned 40 or 41. He's in the 212s as well. So, mate, both men's lineups are looking stacked.
He's probably the youngest 41-year-old you'll ever see.
How good is he? Yeah, man, how good are his genetics? Like, it was only a few months I got to see him, and he was looking really well rested and ready to go.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I mean, yeah, it's exciting. I love that the 212 is in there, and Rolly Winkle's brother is actually, I think it's his first pro show that he's going to be, or maybe his second or something, but he's going to be doing in the 212, so that adds a little bit. I think he got that invite just because, by virtue of it, he's Rolly Winkle's brother, but, I mean, that's kind of a cool little story in there.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, two brothers doing two different ones, but I know you've touched on this a bit with Scotty, but I just scribbled down in the last couple of days, going back and forth, my top six for the Open and top five for the 212s. Did you want to hear it?
I definitely want to hear it, yes.
Okay, here we go. The Opens. Mate, I'm going to put Dennis Wolf in first, purely on his performance at the Olympia.
You and Scotty have the same first place then, and okay. I have something different too.
I think if anyone can back things up, Dennis has proved he can back up comps pretty close to each other. Second, I'm going to go Sean Roden, mainly because of his performance at the Olympia as well. Third, I'm going to put in Ben Pawlowski.
Fourth, or Pukalski, yeah, one or the other.
You know, Pilates, Pawlowski, who cares? Fourth, Victor. Fifth, Rolly. Sixth, Evan. And I chucked in seventh as Cedric. My wild card, who could potentially place in the top four, was Brandon Curry.
He's the top four, you reckon?
He's my wild card. If anyone could come in and shock everyone, if he's 100% on, it's Brandon, I think.
Yeah.
My 212s, all right. First, it's got to be Flex. Flex can't be beaten, I don't think, at this stage. Second, David Henry. Third, Jose. Fourth, I'm putting in Stan, even though I'd love to see Stan place higher. I don't think he will in his comeback. And fifth, Tricky Jackson.
Yeah, mine's very, very similar to that. I've got something a little bit different in the 212s, because I didn't do my 212 prediction, so I'll do mine now. I've got Flex Lewis in first and David Henry in second. I think those two are pretty... I think that's what most people are picking.
Yep.
I've got Jose in third, which you've got as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth, I've got Aaron Clark. He competed at the New York Pro last year in the 212s and got third there. And I think he's got... I mean, he's only been pro... He's only done that one show, I think, as a pro, and he did quite well.
Yep.
Placing just behind Jose and... Who was it? Jose and... Who else competed there? Can't even remember now.
Man, I can't remember that far back.
Was Sammy Al Haddad or who it was? I can't quite remember.
Oh, but, Sammy didn't get an invite, did he?
Oh, well, he's not on the list, so
that's
no.
That's a big
maybe
one.
He might have got an invite, but he chose not to do it.
Yeah.
Or he chose not to apply, maybe.
I think that's like Dexter, isn't it? He's just chose not to do it.
Yeah. Dexter, of course, he'd be an instant invitee to the show. But, yeah, I've got Aaron Clark in, what was that, fourth?
Yeah.
And then maybe in fifth, I've got Stan McQuay. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's pretty similar, not too far off.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for the Arnold now, and I'm excited to see who comes out from the Arnold to compete in Australia.
So am I, mate. I mean, Tony was hard at work at the Olympia. We saw, Scotty and I saw that, the prejudging of the 212. Tony was back and forth between us and then backstage. He goes, oh, I've just got this guy signed up, or I've got video footage of this guy, so... He's been hard at work for a long time, mate. If he could just get... You got to be thinking Dennis Wolf would probably do it. Ben Pawlowski would probably do it. How good would it be to see Victor out here?
Oh, it'd be awesome. No. Oh, that's one that I'd actually really, really like to see out here. But is he allowed to? Is he, you know,
yeah,
legally?
He's cleared all that sort of stuff up now. But he's the sort of physique you'll appreciate a hell of a lot more in real life, like because of his shape and his muscle bellies and fullness.
I actually thought that. I mean, what do you think of his back now? Because his back... used to just be just awesome and crazy and just always mind-boggling. And doesn't seem to be quite where it used to be. Does it still look impressive? Or?
I think maybe he did look good at the Olympia, but then remember what was the show a couple of weeks later where he got he moved up a fair bit?
Yeah, he beat out Rolly and stuff. And he's out of the top 10 at the Olympia. So.
Yeah, his condition was a little bit better there. And when his condition's a bit better, obviously his back looks better with it too. But I agree with that. Dave, if you look back at 2.7 where he got second to Jay, his back did have a bit more thickness and detail to it.
Yeah, definitely. And, he just, like that show that you said, the Arnold Spain that he did and moved up a few places, he actually appeared to be fuller there as well. As harder. So normally when people say they want to come in fuller or whatever, they come in softer.
Yeah.
But he seemed to get harder and fuller, which is pretty amazing.
Victor's another one that seems to be able to do shows like this, like do the Arnold, do the Olympia, do the Arnold, do the Olympia, can keep going back and forth. And he doesn't seem to need that whole year off like some of them do. So I think he's going to improve even a lot, you know, more so by the time the Arnold rolls around.
Yeah, one thing that I do disagree with what you said earlier. You said about Dennis Wolf backing up shows close to each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he did the Olympia, he looked great there, but was it a week later or 2 weeks later when he competed? I don't know if he did Arnold Spain or what it was, but whatever show he did after that, he really didn't look anywhere near as good. And from what people were saying there, he just didn't.
I think I'm probably more referring to probably when he's done the Olympia than the Arnold, sort of that gap. Yeah, when he got the second at the Arnold those couple of years, then he did the Olympia. He sort of seemed to be able to back up big period, like periods of time of 6 months or so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I think he can be up and down though. Like he can look good through his whole prep, and then he can on the day come in flat or come in.
A couple of bad years there for a bit, but hey, speaking of Dexter. I was just mucking around with Google the other day. Can I tell you an awesome fact about Dexter?
Yes, you can, yes.
Did you know how many shows... Well, I think you already know what I'm going to say because we spoke about it. Do you know Dexter's done 65 pro shows in his career? And out of those 65 pro shows, in 59 of them, he's placed top five.
That blew my mind. I thought I heard something similar to that before, but when you told me, I was like... And you really put that in perspective. He's done Olympias. He's done plenty of Olympias, plenty of Arnolds. All these other pro shows, like, you know, like Masters Olympia, Master Olympia did, and then all these other top pro shows, and he's only placed out of the top five 6 times.
Yeah, that is an incredible statistic. And I dare say that those 6 times would have been at the start of his career. I mean, for the first few Olympias he did, he got 8th, 9th, or 10th, somewhere around there. So for those first couple of years, that's when those placings would have happened. So you could honestly say for at least 12 or so years now, he's placed top five in 12 years at every show he's done. And interestingly enough, this year, he won the very first show of the year, which is the Arnold, and then he won the very last show of the year, which is the Tijuana Pro. The guy, when you look at this guy's statistics, I think he's 19 pro shows as well now. So he's only just behind Ronnie Coleman, Kevin Lavrone, and Flex Wheeler, I think, for all-time most winning pro shows.
I mean, he's got to win, like, what is it, another 4 or something?
It might have to. I'm pretty sure Ronnie might have been up around that 23 or 24.
Yeah, and he's got 19,
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible.
Do you think he'll beat that record?
I still think Dexter's got a couple of good years left in him, and I think Dexter's still going to produce that good form he's showing now, albeit he's a little bit smaller, but his condition's come back to where it was, and he's still got that sharp fullness. He seems hungrier than ever, so... It's hard. Yeah, mate, I think he can definitely win a couple more shows. Now, he's already committed to the Tijuana next year, which most likely could be another win because that's also a month or so after the Olympia. Not many guys are going to do it. I think his comeback show, he hasn't said it yet, but he's not doing the Arnold or the Australia. So you've got to think his next best bet would be around the New York Pro.
Is Dexter ever, like, I mean, he hasn't done the New York Pro in quite a few years. I don't even know. I can't even remember because of...
Yeah, I think the last time he did something like that, they used to call it the Night of Champions, and then it changed to the New York Pro, so I think that might have been the last time he actually done it, when it was the Night of Champions.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it'd be cool to see him back on like a stage like that, but he doesn't normally do the New York, cause he normally goes for maybe those European shows, or he goes for the Arnold and just continues on for a few shows or whatever, so it's going to be interesting him not doing the Arnold this year and just going to do some different shows.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Mick, we've had a few photos come out during the week of a few of the, you know, top kind of names hanging around Australia. We had some come out of Gary Wright, which is kind of, there's question marks in the air whether, you know, he'll be allowed to or if he is doing the pro qualifier or anything like that. I mean, I hear rumours thrown around. I haven't spoken to Tony Doherty about this yet. But, I mean, mate, he's looking pretty good. Like, there's talk of him last year and stuff potentially winning the pro qualifier and he finishes in 4th place, which is obviously disappointing for him, but it was only his second contest prep, so, you know, it's expected that things might go wrong. Now, I mean, if he jumps into, you know, the 212 or whatever, he can do some serious damage and possibly take that 212 pro card if he is able to do that.
I still think he's a threat, whatever he does, mate, and, I mean, there was a lot of hype surrounding Gary at this year's pro qualifier. His photos leading into it indicated he was going to be an absolute monster. Mate, things go wrong, you know. People burn up muscle tissue or people hold a bit of fluid. Gary's still got a hell of a lot of potential, and he's quieted down a lot since that comp, and he's obviously put his head down. Now, that selfie he's put up is another, like, it's a freaky photo. So I don't know, one of the guys I PT at the moment, Stacey, you may have seen, I put a photo up today, I made him lunge out in the car park 100 metres at a time, which is fun for me. He's going up to, he's good friends with Gary, he's going up to train with Gary very soon when they head up for holidays up Cairns way. So he's going to get me a little bit more info and hopefully get a confirmation out of Gary, and hopefully we can get Gary on the show.
Awesome, yeah. I mean, some bodybuilders, I don't know if Gary will want to come on the show or not, because I talked to him last year before a pro qualifier, and he said after the show, and then I don't even know if that happened. Yeah, it did happen, actually. I got him on after the show, but I want him on before. So if Gary's listening to this, come on the show beforehand. I'll contact you in the next few days or something.
Our people, but, take your people, Gary.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually set up an interview. This is an interesting one, Mick, with Lucky Hatzipantelis.
Oh, awesome. How is Lucky going?
He is back in the gym now. After,
is he busy?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's been training the past few weeks. And, yeah,
I love Lucky. I've always had a lot of time and respect for Lucky, and I think Lucky's genetics are friggin' incredible if he can screw the head on the proper way.
Yeah, I was actually talking to him, and he's talking about what he might say on there and stuff like that, and he's a bit worried what he might say.
No, and, I like Lucky when he just speaks his mind.
Same, me too as well, but I said, if you feel awkward saying that, or if that's a deal breaker, I said, we can just talk about your competitions and all that type of stuff, and I said people will find it interesting anyway, because you've got an interesting personality, and I think he thought that I was being a bit insulting or something, like, you've got an interesting personality.
Yes, it reminds me of Harry Potter.
But, no, I didn't mean that offensively at all, I mean in a good way, like, he's intriguing almost, like...
Yeah, there's something about Lucky, I don't know what it is, and yeah, I don't know, mate. His heart's in the right place. He's a good kid. He could go a hell of a long way. I think that's just his only downfall, is just, you know, believing he can do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly, because everyone else does. I mean,
yeah, hell yeah. I mean, I've heard Scott talk about him highly. Obviously, when he did that, he got second to Luke Timms. You know, he wasn't far off Luke Timms, and possibly, potentially as a pro... Lucky has more potential as a pro than Luke does. So he's just got to get that part of him right.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I think, you know, going into it, Lucky was a heavy favourite for that. And I heard only one person actually say that they thought Luke Timms was going to win.
Mm.
So he was a heavy favourite. So he obviously is very disappointed. I know he put a lot into it and stuff. And to come up on stage and then not win out of, I think it was only them two competing, wasn't it?
No, I think there was a third guy. I can't remember his name.
Oh, it was Varinder Singh.
That's it. Yes.
But yeah, they basically he was kind of like just an added one. It wasn't really. It was still kind of like he got second out of two people. So I think that kind of hurt him a bit, and you know, because you're finishing second, but you're finishing last as well. But yeah. Lucky, obviously, everyone else can see the potential and can see that, you know, he wasn't far off it. But obviously, when you're competing yourself, you kind of talk yourself into being worse than you are sometimes, I think.
And just the name alone, Lucky, I mean, that's a pro name written all over it. Do we know all the top pros who got different names?
Yeah.
Right?
And he's going to be one of those, if he does go pro and does successfully, he gets talked about on these American ones, they're all going to butcher his last name as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I didn't even say his last name right then. I just said Lucky.
It's like Big Ramy, like his name's Mamdou Elspaye. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm never going to get that right. No. And then by the time the Olympia rolls around, I got it.
It's like Sonny. Sonny was in here just before buying some stuff from the shop. And we spent the day on the beach Sunday. And I was there with Pilates, and me and Sonny calling Aaron Pilates, which isn't his name. And then I looked at Sonny and said, Sonny, you're one of my good mates, and I still can't say your last name. It's disgraceful, isn't it? Well, you look at Luke Smith. I mean, how easy is that? Luke Smith.
That is very easy. Right. Yeah.
I bet how many people reckon he's lying when they go, what's your name? Luke Smith. You know?
It's very common, isn't it?
Very common.
John Smith is obviously the worst.
Alphonse Smith.
Alphonse?
Yeah.
That can't be common.
I hear it all the time.
Really?
No.
I was going to say.
Hey, you know how we do our top six predictions or whatever for the comps?
Yeah.
I was with a mate the other day. You know what we come up with?
What?
Our Ben and Jerry top three.
Oh, nice. What are they?
Do you want to know what my top three Ben and Jerry's is? At number one, actually, I'll start from three.
I'm going to write these down because my next week's cheat meal, I'm going to be having some Ben & Jerry's, hopefully.
Hopefully any listeners out there, I'm helping them pick their next Ben & Jerry's. Number three is New York Super Fudge. Number two, and this is a tight one between first and second, is the new one, Couch Potato. And number one, and I can't seem to keep staying away from this one, it always comes back in the fridge, is Maple Tree Hugger.
So is Maple Tree Hugger number one?
Maple Tree Hugger's number one.
What's that a combination of? Just like some type of honey or maple syrup or?
Yeah, something like that. It's hard to explain. It tastes good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But is it? What do you think about the tubs of Ben and Jerry's like compared to actually going and getting it?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, when you go and get Ben and Jerry's from the actual, like, you know, Ben and Jerry's ice cream place?
Well, see, it's different. Well, we've only got one on the Goldie, but, mate, we get ripped off here. And the one in America, now, there's a shop. It's about 100 metres from my cousin's house on Santa Monica Beach. And, man, it's so much cheaper there. So much more variety. It's just, you know, honestly, I was going there every twice a day, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they knew me by name.
That's good. Did you just walk in and say just the usual?
Yeah, I just sat down at my table and they brought over.
Oh dear. Yeah, there's also one other photo you said went up. Was it of Tony Cesardi?
Yes, I think Tony posted it, and it was a picture of Tony, and it was cut off from the waist to just the neckline. But man, that boy carries some muscle.
Bloody overdoes. Have you got any word on if he's going to do the 212
pro qualifier? Not a thing. Now the only. Actually, no, it wasn't Tony. I was talking to Big Jimmy, Nabba Jimmy, the other day on Facebook chat. Now, he confirmed, obviously, we all know this, he's prepping Josh. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Maybe
he's prepping Josh Lenardowicz?
Yeah.
Well, you said we all know this. I didn't even know that.
Well, you didn't know. Xavier, thought you had your head to the pot, whatever it is. Okay, yeah, there you go. That's some big news. Where's that music?
Yeah, what music goes with that one?
I don't know. Make something up. Sing something right now. Do the Titanic music. You know, that weird song?
Oh, mate, I'm not going to download that stuff just to put that in there.
Anyway. Waste of my time. Yeah, so that's what I was told. Because I asked Jimmy, are you doing the pro qual? Is there any rumour to it? And he said no.
Yeah, Scott told me about last week, actually, and I already recorded with you, so I was like, fuck.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So
anyway,
we're dispelling that myth. He's not doing pro qualifier.
He is not doing the pro qualifier.
Yes.
Okay.
So what were we saying?
Tony is looking for, but we don't have confirmation. Maybe you should get Tony or inbox Tony Doherty and see what you can say, or get Tony on the show next week and he can tell us all the confirmations.
Yeah, I was actually hoping to get Tony on the show this week, but I'm probably actually going to record with him this week. It'll go on next week's episode. Maybe I'll record with him on Friday or something, just to make sure I get that interview in.
Who's our guest this week?
Aaron Pilates.
Oh, my God. That's dumb of mine. Yeah, all right. I'll tell you, that day, because obviously they're prep coaches, which you've got Chris Thomas looking after Sonny and Luke, and you've got Logan looking after... after Aaron, so we all go together on the beach and eat. Man, there was some food eaten that day. Plus, we all ended up like lobsters,
just from getting burnt.
Yeah, it's disgraceful.
Mick, oh, you've been impressed. I've been getting a bit of a tan lately.
Yeah,
I've been getting in the sun.
Okay,
I think you'd be surprised. I'm not the usual pasty me.
Can't be that bad.
Anyway, Mick, we're gonna launch into our most popular segment, probably, or maybe not. Maybe not.
Probably most hated at the moment, who knows?
And that is Funny Facts About Gretchy.
Dave, we've got a good one this week. Now, I was going to read it out to you beforehand, but you chose not to because you wanted a bit of shock value and surprise.
Yeah, I like the surprise.
Emma's got another good one for me. Now, when Gretchy was a kid, and we're talking young, little, can you imagine Gretchy little?
I just imagine his head on a little body.
He'd be an absolute deviant, wouldn't he? Anyway, so...
He would have been catching things on fire and everything, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely, yeah. No doubt about it. Putting those little bombs in the toilets at school and stuff.
What little bombs are they?
Yeah, I don't know. So you just see them on the movies. They blow up and water goes everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've got a good one here. So anyway, when he's a little kid, and he's at home in his bed, and God knows, he's probably got Superman covers and all that sort of stuff happening, Batman sheets, who knows, he'd make this weird-ass noise. Now, he's promised he'd do it for me, so I'd like to get a copy of it and get it up on the RX site. It's just a really weird, loud, sort of siren noise. So that gave his mum notice that he was awake. Now, he wouldn't get out of bed. He'd just lay there. His mum would go in, open the blinds, get him out of bed. That's the only way he would get out of bed, every morning.
How old was he?
He's got to be young. I mean, head to that. But yeah, that's just weird. So imagine that. He wakes up, he looks around, he goes, I'm not going to get out of bed. I'll just do a loud siren noise. Mum will know. Mum will come and do everything, and then I'll get out of bed. Is this why he has issues to this day?
What do you mean?
Well, what is that instilling in your head if you do something like that? Dominance? I don't know. What is it? I don't know. It's weird. But anyway.
I don't know what you call that one.
I don't know. Weird. You know what it is? It's a funny fact about Gretchy. Cue that's music right. Now.
Now, Mick, everyone loves your little cue music now, but we're going to move into a more, I suppose you'd say, a more serious segment.
Yes.
And we're going to move on to our most memorable Olympians of all time. And this week, we have the 1988 Mr. Olympia. Now, this was Lee Haney's fifth Mr. Olympia title, I believe.
Yep.
And this is what I found really interesting. This was actually the first one that was ever held in LA. Or maybe was it the only one? It was definitely the first one.
No, I haven't researched this, but I'm pretty sure 1997 was in LA. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember reading it was the first one in LA, so I assumed there's more than just one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 6,000 fans in attendance. And now, Mick, the interesting thing was about this Olympia as well, that was all weighed before the show, so the press conference actually had a weigh-in, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, mate. I remember there was they do the Battlefield Olympias now, but back then they had, I think it was called Road to Olympia that Tom Platz did. And yeah, I've still got it somewhere on VHS, but they showed the weighing of a lot of the guys, and a lot of the guys' weights were way down than what they'd sort of said leading into the show and things like that. So definitely set them straight, that's for sure.
Yeah, I actually read one article on the Olympia, which is actually done by John Hansen, who writes for RxMuscle.com, and he was talking about it, and he kind of alluded to that some of these guys were coming in a little bit more streamlined because they knew they couldn't beat Lee Haney with mass, but it might even just be the fact that they were a little bit maybe, you know, lighter than they said. And yeah. It's actually funny, Mick. The lightest guy on the show finished in fourth place out of, I think it was like 18 guys, or 20 guys, sorry.
Lee Labrada.
Yeah, and this is funny. He finished fourth, and the heaviest guy on the show finished last.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, big Rolf Moeller.
Yeah.
He went nowhere after that, I think. But it's a stacked lineup. There's a lot of great, great bodybuilders in there that are still talked about to this day. I remember I started training in probably, 1988, I was in year 8 at school. I think I started in 1990. So, but this was actually the first Olympia that I got hold of on a video to watch it. So I remember it really, really well. And I took a liking to Rich Gaspari. And I'm not sure what attracted me to him. I think it might have just been his attitude towards training and his never say die. But, you know, mate, Rich, that was his third straight second place. He placed second in 86, 87, and 88. Mate, he went pro. Now, back then, too, you've got to remember, a lot of these guys, Haney, Rich Gaspari, Barry DeMay, Labrada, Stridham, they all turned pro very, very young. And Rich turned pro at 19 years of age at the 84 Universe. That's pretty young.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was actually a lot of guys turning pro pretty young at like around that time.
Yep.
But yeah, I actually thought it was actually only two Olympics, but it's three that he finished second in a row in.
Yep. 86, his first one at 21, where he looked amazing. 87, he was just a little bit bigger and fuller. And 88, he nailed that condition again and again placed second. And only a few months later, he won the first ever Arnold Classic in 1989.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And Scotty actually mentioned that that Rich Gaspari won the first ever Arnold Classic, and Flex Lewis might win the first ever 212 Classic, and they obviously, he's obviously sponsored by Gaspari.
Yeah, their partnership is. Man, I remember there was an article back around this same time when I started buying Muscle Mags,
And it had a picture of Gaspari winning a comp, and at the top of it had Gaspari is king. And I'll never, and I don't know why, even now, that just stands out in my head for some reason. It was a picture of two guys had his hands above his head, and Rich had his head back in like a victory pose. And everywhere I was at school, I used to just scribble in the desk, Gaspari is king. That was it. No one had a clue who Gaspari was. I just thought it was funny. But I can honestly say he was probably the first guy, not necessarily for his physique, but he was the first bodybuilder I sort of looked up to, I guess. And Sean Ray was quickly after him. And, mate, you'll notice too, Sean Ray placed 13th in this Olympia, and that was his first one, and he was also 21.
Yeah, that's crazy. 21 in the Olympia, finishing 13th. Like, yep. He obviously quickly went up after that. What did he place the next year? Do you remember?
Well, he actually had 89 off. I think it was due to a suspension of not turning up to a comp. So he had 89 off, and then 1990 he came on, won the Ironman, won the Arnold. But 87, the year before, and I think he was still age 21. That's when he won the 87 Nationals and beat everyone, light heavyweight overall. And obviously, you know, star in the making, Sean, from day one.
Yeah, definitely. And he would have shocked a lot of people back there.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, obviously this was Lee Haney's comp, and he was one of the heaviest guys on the day. I think he was the second heaviest. So we had the heaviest finishing last and the second heaviest finishing first. And when these guys were obviously weighing in, I don't know what order they went in, but apparently everyone was kind of shocked when they saw Lee Haney get on the scales at, you know, 243.25 pounds. Like, that's obviously, you know, that's a mass monster back then, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you've got Lee Labrada, who is, you know, one of the challengers and stuff, and he's weighing at 176 pounds, the lightest guy on the show. So it really probably did put things in perspective that, you know, and do you know what it actually makes me think, though? Like, you know, everyone says about these guys, they have to be, oh, you have to be at the top of each weight class and stuff like that on amateur level and on all these other levels, and I think that's kind of crap. Like, I don't think you need to be at the very top of a weight class to take out someone, you know. Even if you are giving up 5 kilos, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter.
I agree. I've seen plenty of guys at 82, 83 destroy under 90 classes. If you've got that certain look, you know, you've got the right proportions and shape and symmetry, it doesn't matter, you know.
Exactly. Like, if you can be the fourth best guy in the world and weigh 176 pounds, then if you're going to, you know, if you're in an open show like that, then Lee Labrada, he wouldn't be in one of the top weight classes, but he could go to any national comp and beat him as super heavies and he'd destroy him.
Exactly. He, until you saw Labrada in real life, he looked impressive in photos anyway because he was put together so well. But in real life, his muscles just, they popped, they exploded when he posed. You can't buy that look, mate. It's a genetic look. He obviously trained hard. He knew how to diet well. And he dominated the pro scene for quite a few years. And there was they used to have a lot of Grand Prix after the comps, and they were big in the late 80s, early 90s. There'd be 6, 7, 8 Grand Prix straight after the Olympia. Now, Lee Labrada and Rich Gaspari went head-to-head. I think Rich came out with 4 wins, and Labrada came out with 3 wins. Now, Labrada was winning comps at this stage. He was beating a lot of the big guys like Mike Quinn and Brian Buchanan and, you know, Gaspari. They hated it. I still remember the magazines, because obviously we had no internet back then, so you'd have to wait for the magazines to come out, and they just, you know, the bodybuilders were hating getting beaten by someone this, you know, that didn't weigh that much.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, like, I don't think he ever would have admitted probably he's 176 pounds, but the fact that he had to weigh in actually, obviously, you know, proved it. But Rich Gaspari, he finished in second here, and he's only 209 pounds. What did you think of Gaspari? Obviously, it was basically a runaway for Lee Haney. I think we can both agree on that. But was Rich clearly the second guy?
I'd probably bias when I say yes, because I was such a fan of his, and you know, I still am to this day. You probably could put a good case for Barry DeMay maybe slotting up in a second. Barry DeMay had that classical, symmetrical look, very well proportioned. Not a mass freak by any word, but just very, very well put together. Extremely tall, extremely wide. You could have made a case for them two swapping over, but I think Rich's popularity at that stage and the fact that he got second in the two previous Olympias probably helped him a bit there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Rich Gaspari finishing second in that one, but I think it was just night and day between Lee Haney and the rest of the Mr. Olympias there.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you look at this list, Mick, you look down to 17. That's probably about as far as you go, and you look from like 10th to 17th, and there's some good names there. Like, you just go, you know, you can go right up the list as well. But you got Bob Parris, Mohamed Benaziza, Phil Hill, Sean Ray, Mike Ashley, Al Beckles, Ed Kowak, and Robbie Robertson.
Yeah, that's
a deep lineup.
There's some great bodybuilders there. Like, for instance, Robbie Robinson, definitely. Al Beckles was an amazing physique. Ashley won the Arnold Classic. Sean Ray, we all know, he went famous. Mohamed Benazizza was another one that, and this was his first pro show. And the year after this, he placed fifth in Italy at the 89 Olympia, and that's when he really started to take off. But everyone took notice of Mohamed here at this comp. He was so, I think he was like 5'3", but so thickly built. You know, excellent lineup. Bob Powers 10th. Bob was another all-time great bodybuilder.
Yeah, Bob actually, he's got an absolutely incredible physique. Like, he was, I mean, he's probably the first really pro openly gay bodybuilder.
Mate, you're probably right. The first one to come out with it. I think Scotty's made it. He's hinting towards the fact that he might come out with it soon for himself. But
Scott Goble.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of clued on a little bit in Vegas when I saw him being a little bit touchy, feel a little sketchy in that. But that'll be interesting to see how that goes down. I wonder if that's going to hinder him at the pro qualifier. I hope not. I'll be first for the Open. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the first one to openly come out with it. Didn't seem to cop too much slack over it, which is good. But
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I think once we found out when I heard it, we used to call him Bobbles after that.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. You didn't even get my Seinfeld reference then.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Oh, you did get it, you just didn't acknowledge it.
Well, I it wasn't time and place to acknowledge it. I'm acknowledging it now. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, okay.
Very good. If you haven't watched Seinfeld, they're probably thinking, what the fuck are these two on again?
Yeah, no.
It's a lot. Watch Seinfeld, don't understand, get Fox still.
Yeah.
Gary Stride in fifth place.
You took the words out of my mouth. Now, he looked really good this year. I mean, he was really tight. His physique overall looked really good. Could you have made a case for him placing higher?
No.
No?
And I believe no, because his back was extremely down. He admitted, and you've got to remember this, the video that I'm talking about, the Road to Olympia, they showed him training. Oh, man, his condition in the legs and the abs and obliques especially was absolutely conditioned so well. But his back was terrible. It was he died down that much. I think he came in at 230, didn't he, or 225?
229.
Now, he's 6'2".
Yeah, to me, he looked too small.
Yeah, way, way, way died down. This was Gary's first and only Mr. Olympia, which is incredible.
Was it really?
Yeah, first and only Mr. Olympia. He...
Wow.
He'd 89, he did a couple of Grand Prix, him and Mike Christian. I think Mike Christian might have beaten him out there. And then, after that, he went to the WBF, I think it was. Yeah, Gary's back was quite... Yeah, but he did a couple of more shows, then he went to the WBF with Vince McMahon and all his federation. And he did make a late comeback, had a shocker, I think. Oh, how good is this for my memory? 1996, he made a comeback at the Night of Champions, looked disgraceful for Gary standards, then had another massive time off, came back at the 2006 Colorado Pro, where Phil Heath won his first pro show.
I remember that. That's when I was getting into bodybuilding.
Yes. How good was that for a good memory?
Yes, that was very good. I was actually going to say he made a comeback around, I was going to say around 2007, 2008, but yeah, I remember when, Phil Heath was battling Darren Charles for that Colorado Pro, then they went on to the... Was it the New York Pro where they battled the next week?
Yep.
Yeah, so that was cool. And I remember, because obviously my dad was into bodybuilding, and he always used to talk about guys like Lee Liberata and Rich Kaspari, and he used to talk about Gary Stridham and Mike Quinn, and I'd hear about all these guys like when I was probably, 15 years old, when I asked him more about it and stuff like that. And it was cool to see one of these guys that Dad actually, talked about from back in the day, back in from the 90s and stuff like that, in the 80s. Actually competing, and I told my dad about it, and he's kind of excited, and he's like, holy shit, he looks really good for his age.
Oh yeah, that comeback was epic in 2006, and he kept saying he might make another comeback, but he's probably, I don't know if he will now, but he's over in Thailand, mate. He lives over there. He's still got his couple of little businesses, and he's doing all right for himself, Gary.
Very nice. Now Mike Quinn, the head on Mike Quinn actually scares me. I mean, you hear the stories about him. But he obviously, a sixth place is nothing to be ashamed of at the Olympia.
No, not at all, mate. I think we spoke about Mike. We just touched on him a little bit a few episodes ago. And Mighty Mike Quinn, they used to call him. 6 years, seventh a year later. He also went
to Vince McMahon's Federation, which didn't last long, 91, 92 or something like that. Very intense, Mike. You know, always seemed to be in trouble, always seemed to be in fights. Definitely, you know, some great body parts on him. His arms and back were outstanding. Always seemed to lack a little bit in the legs. But, yeah. Mike was a good guy. He had a good heart. He had a lot of personal issues, but he was a very, you know, he was just a good bodybuilder to watch and to listen to. You know, he had a lot to say and he stood out.
Yeah, definitely. And moving on to a guy that got seventh place, Brian Buchanan. He's perhaps one of the most underrated guys, I think, in this lineup, because you hear about all the other names, like pretty much all the other names you know of, you really do know of, and Brian Buchanan's kind of one that gets forgotten a little bit, I think.
They were sort of touting Brian as a possible guy that could take Haney's throne before this Olympia. And I remember they did an iconic photo of Brian holding up Lee Haney's head, very reminiscent of when Lou Ferrigno had Arnold's head. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Brian's waist is probably the smallest waist we've ever seen on any pro bodybuilder.
It's tiny.
Before then or even now. But no one comes close to that. The V-taper was absolutely amazing. Upper body, he probably could have taken the Olympia if his legs were as good as his upper body. I believe Brian lives in Sydney now.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's Australian. I know he's Australian, but he's been in Australia for years and years.
Oh, love to get him on the show.
Yeah, he did do a couple of Olympias. I think the one after this, he may have got eighth or ninth. I'm not really sure what happened to him after that. Did make a little bit of a comeback, maybe in the mid-90s to the end, where went back to NABBA. And I'm not sure what he's done after that. But, yeah, he was a freaky bodybuilder.
Well, how would I get in contact with him? I don't think he has Facebook.
I don't know. Can you? I don't know.
Jeez. We'll put it out there. If anyone has the contact details for Brian Buchanan, send them through to me. Email me.
I must have. Surely. Scott, yes. Come on, Scotty. You know stuff that we don't know. Sometimes.
Do you know what's worse? I just wanted to mention this. I know it's kind of off topic, but Aaron Pilates. he mentioned, yep. He said something about you being right or something. He's he's always been right or something like that. Mm. And we made point of how you're always right, so I thought you'd probably enjoy that.
Mate, Xavier, I've proved this to you over... You know, you can think what you want, but it wasn't until I pointed you in the right direction. How many times now? Probably 24, 36 times?
36, that's a lot. That's 36 times.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot. And I feel like with Aaron especially too, I feel like I've taken him under my wing a little bit. And there's a lot of mistakes I made in competing and doing certain things and stuff like that. And he can get there so much faster with the help of, you know, guys like me and Logan, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
We can just cut out, you know, this is what we've done wrong. Even little things like the sponsors and things like that, how to go about things. There's so many, you know, there's a lot of easier ways than what we've done.
Yeah, definitely.
But thank you. But
we'll get back onto the Olympia. Samir Banu in eighth. Samir, obviously, he won. What was the year that Samir won the Olympia? 83, yeah. So obviously
he was in 84, then got banned, and this was his comeback.
Yeah, so what did you think about him in the 88 Olympia?
He was off, unfortunately. The lead up to it, the some of the footage I saw on the road to Olympia, he's got such outstanding body parts. His chest, for instance, his back. He does very, very, very good quads. If you take notice, when he's standing relaxed, they flare out very well. Awesome calves. Just didn't have that condition. Everyone's always going to remember his 83 Olympic condition. And unfortunately, and that's how this sport is, everyone remembers your best ever condition. If you don't match it, you're off.
It's like when Dexter was coming in slightly off, like,
yeah.
Everyone was like, he looks horrible.
Yeah, well, Dexter's off as everyone else is on. So that's, you know, it's hard for Dexter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think this is probably a good placing for Samir.
Yeah. What do you think of Ron Love? I mean, he's got a good physique. Maybe he looked like he needed a little bit more quads or something like that, but he looked really good.
Ron Love, he was a police officer back then. He was very tall, very wide, awesome shoulders. I'll tell you a funny story about Ron. Do you know the Australian bodybuilder who also went pro around this time called Adrian Batho?
Yes, I've heard of Adrian, yeah. Okay.
When I first ever, my very first sponsorship was with a company called Pure Power when I was 17 and I just won the Teenage Australia and I knew nothing about it. And my dad went over to, they had a booth at the Reesby Workers Club. My dad went over to them and said, my son's just won blah, blah. Would you be interested in sponsorship? God knows why, but they said yes. It must have been my dashing good looks at that age. But being sponsored by them also was Ron Love and Adrian Batho, believe it or not.
Really?
And Adrian Batho and I are still mates now. which is that's a funny little story. But I just remember, yeah, Ron was huge. Huge.
Yeah.
You know, did lack a little bit in the leg department and maybe the arms, but great bodybuilder. Very, 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 very forgotten bodybuilder.
Yeah. And another one, Phil Hill. He's probably bigger.
Phil Hill was massive. Massive legs. Basketball biceps, like huge. The chest was humongous. Came in condition. He actually won his weight class at the Nationals the year Sean Ray won the overall. And everyone, you know, that was a pretty tight contest, that one. Everyone expected massive things from Phil, and he did win his first pro show, I'm pretty sure, in that same year, 88. I don't know what happened to Phil after this comp. I don't know. I don't think he competed again. I've never heard from him. Craig Lucas and I were just talking about it the other day when we mentioned routines in this exact Olympia. And I said Bob Parris's was probably the best, but he nominated Phil Hill, and then I went and had a look at Phil's routine again, and he's probably actually right. Phil's routine is awesome. For any listeners out there wanting posing tips, I probably really would have a look at this Olympia and have a look at guys like Phil Pose, Labrada Pose, Sean Ray, Bob Parris. You know, these guys knew how to pose.
Yeah. And we had Albert Beckles in Miss Olympia. He's obviously... He competed in the Olympia. How old was his oldest Olympia? Like,
Albert was back in Arnold's day. Albert kept going for a little bit after this. I think he may have won something in 91. Albert was reportedly around 57 or 58 in this Olympia.
It's incredible.
Now,
he's born in 1930.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen any bodybuilder. We have not seen any bodybuilder look this good at this age. And like I said, he did go on to win a pro show after this.
He was 58. He was 58 in this one.
Yeah, he did not have loose skin. He wasn't flat. They used to call him Ageless Beckles, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony Doherty. Ageless Al Beckles.
I'm looking at photos of him now, and he does not... He looks like...
No.
He literally looks like some of the pro bodybuilders now that are like, you know, if they're 30 years old, they look 50.
Yeah.
He's, you know, 58 years old, and he looks about 30. Yeah, or 35 or something like that.
Some standout body parts. Like, his back detail was incredible. Now, that's normally what goes in most guys as they get older, especially the detail. So, I don't know. You definitely found the fountain of youth.
Now we were actually doing all these, like, best Olympians of all time, I want to, like, chase some of these guys up and try to find, you know, try to get interviews off some of these guys because... Yeah.
Where are they
I'm sure
now?
I'm sure we've got some awesome stories. Hopefully I can... Oh. I mean, not too many of them have Facebook, but there's a few of them. I mean, Gary Stridham has Facebook and there's a few other ones. But it'd be interesting to try to track these guys down and try to get some really good interviews.
What's going on, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure they've got awesome stories from back in the day, so...
Oh, I dare say they would.
Ed Quack, I've always thought he had an absolutely killer physique. What did you think?
Very, very thick, massive quads, massive back, chest, arms. Big of a thick waist. Unfortunately, Ed passed away not too long ago. But yeah, he was mainly a NABBA guy. Like, he won everything in NABBA. Came in the IFBB pro ranks, didn't do as well as what he probably would have liked, and then he went back to NABBA and cleaned up again.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that, like you said, he had a slightly wider waist and things like that, but sometimes, like, in a few shots, he just looked absolutely insane. Like, he looked really, really good. So, yeah, he packed a lot of muscle, and yeah, obviously, yeah. When did he pass away? Was it a few years back?
I think it was, yeah, it would have been the last couple of years. I can't really put my finger on it, but, yeah, I remember reading something or seeing something on the net.
You always think it's pretty recent, but I think it was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago or something.
Could have been.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it, Mick. That's probably... Do you have any other little facts from that Olympia?
No, I'm just looking at now. Robbie Robinson, yeah, he was 7. Robbie Robinson, the Black Prince, he was back in Arnold's day too. He's still... Mate, I see Robbie every time I go to Gold's Gym. I bump into Robbie and say hello. And he's 67 or 68. He still looks awesome. You know, that's incredible at that age, to be still kicking along. Yeah, that's about... Oh, the total prize money. Do you know what the total prize money was for the 1988 Mr. Olympia?
Yes, I do. Because I remember reading it.
$150,000. Now, yeah. The guy today gets $250,000, am I right, for first place?
Yes, you're correct.
We have come a long way. I mean, admittedly, we're not up there with the, you know, the NFL or the basketball or anything like that, but we still have come a long way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was actually... surprised how much it was back then. I thought it might be around 100 or something because it's 88, you know, it's a while ago.
Yeah. And also, mate, they used to put a lot of this stuff on American TV channels too. They used to put a lot of the Olympia, a lot of the Nationals comps on NBC and stuff like that as well, which we don't see anymore at all, really. There's really
nothing. It's unfortunate, isn't it?
It is, but I think because of today's standards, it's gone so much more freakier and out of control that you know, they just don't want to put that stuff on.
Yeah, and also the steroid issue. People will talk about it, and if it becomes mainstream, then people will talk about it a lot more. So
yeah.
It's one of those things. It's one of those catch-22 things. Even though we all know in these other sports.
Oh, Jesus, man. If the guys we know... anyway.
It's just the fact that you can see it, and people think, oh, you can run fast. You can run fast without steroids, but you can't put on muscle.
Anyway, the list is a mile long. I'm like you. Who cares? Let everyone take what they want, and just let's, you know, football players, whatever. Let them do what they want.
Exactly. I think in NFL we've got some type of allowance, like to how high the testosterone can be. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess it's between free and total testosterone, but it's quite high. Yeah, I remember reading it. It was like
the amount of money in NFL that's going to sponsorships and stuff like that. Even if one of their top players did get tested, man, I'm sure they brushed it under the carpet.
They would find some way around it.
Yeah, you'd have to. Hey, before we go, next week's the last episode of the year. We've got me, you, and Scotty are getting together.
Yes, we're doing. Yes, the three musketeers.
Three amigos. Three amigos. Actually,
do you know what that reminds me of? When 1 year I went to a pro show with Joey Bender. This is the second one we went to together. Because the first one I hardly knew Joey. Second one I knew him reasonably well. And I went with, it was Joey Bender and another mate of mine, Luke Fuller.
Yep.
And he was saying something, because it was us three staying together. And he said something, he meant to say the three amigos or something, but he said the three aminos.
Oh, dear.
So I found that quite amusing. So he was saying, he was calling like amino acids, amigo acids and stuff like that. So that was some classic Joey. He's like, I mean amigos, you know what I'm talking about, fucking hell.
I love Joey, miss Joey.
Yeah.
Okay, so where we at?
Okay, yep. Well, we've got the show coming up next week. Yep. It's going to be you, me, Scott Goble, all on the line at one time. Yeah. We'll still have an interview of the week. I'm hoping it'll probably be Tony Doherty, actually.
That'd be cool.
I've been slack. I've got to contact him. We're going to have him on. We're going to be going through our top five stories international and top five stories in Australia of the year. And we're going to really dive into them, and we'll probably still have some other bodybuilding news as well. So for the first segment, I'm guessing we'll do the top stories of the year.
Yep.
And then the second segment, we'll probably discuss what's just been going on.
I think that, mate, I can't wait. Like you said, I love Scotty. I love listening to Scotty's, reviews on everything. I thought his interview last week was that was awesome, Xavier. I had a lot of people tell me how they loved his assessments on all the top guys. So it's going to be good sitting there with us three chatting. And I've got no doubt he's going to pay me out about some things. And I'll have no comeback as usual, Scott. I'll just laugh. But, yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, not many people pay me out on this show. You guys pay each other out, but I'm... We do a bit.
I might get inbox Scotty and say we need to gang up on Xavier and give him crap.
Oh, mate, I'll just end up crying and just turning off the radio show.
Dear. But, anyway, on that note, sorry, Xavier, I've got to go.
All right, yep. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, Gripped Fitness Accessories. No great sponsor of ours, ATP Science. I think we had 2 minutes with a scientist this episode. I can't even remember because I recorded it a few weeks back. But My Muscle Chef, their orders close midnight Tuesday nights. Muscle Nutrition, the show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Check out their products. Bulknutrients.com.au, check out their site for some great supplements on there. International Protein, of course, owned by Christine Enville and Troy Bremner. Mass Nutrition, over 30 stores around Australia and New Zealand. And, of course, our main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia, Species Nutrition. So, Mick, that's it for episode number 86 of Aussie Muscle Radio.
Wow.
Remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.